This is Side Eye Reporting.
So, kids, we're back.
After a whole semester.
Yeah, it's been a while. Things have happened. Both personally and professionally.
Mm-hmm. And out in the world.
Yes, steadily, pettily. Missed you guys a little bit. We saw each other. It's the last time we recorded. It was so good to see my friend again. I miss you.
Yes, for the holiday.
I mean, I still miss you, but it was so good to see you.
No, likewise. Because, I mean, it had been what? Let me see, I moved in March, so like
almost 84 years.
So, it had been a good minute. It had been a good minute. So, yes, it was good to come home and see you as well. As always, there's never enough time, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
You make the most with what you're given.
Mm-hmm. So, we won't delay any further. We'll get right into it. Man, Kobe Bryant.
Okay, so I think this is definitely going to be one of those events, one of those deaths that is, like, it's going to be, where were you when you got the news?
Right, no, for sure.
And so I was at the Pro Bowl when I found out. I may have been... I was probably trying to park my car to head to the stadium. And a good friend of mine, actually one of our listeners, Bitchy Antics.
Hey, what up, girl?
She texted me and she was like, Kobe Bryant dead? And I was like, what? So I immediately went to Twitter. And
As one does.
And typed in, because I'm like, come on, this has to be a hoax. Somebody lying.
Oh,
somebody has an incredibly sadistic joke. This is ridiculous. So I went to Twitter and there it was. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck is going on? And you and I talked about this. I was no fan of Kobe. And, you know, even at the time that I was watching basketball very heavily, you know, and I would tell people, well, I'm not really a Kobe Bryant fan. They're like, oh, well, is it the whole rape thing? And I'm like, well, that didn't help, but you know, and I'm not being funny when I say it, you know what I mean? It didn't help, but I kind of stopped my fandom well before that, but it did not stop me from being absolutely shocked and just in the same level of just disbelief as everyone else. And then to find out about him, and then the news just got worse.
You know,
because then you find out, because for a minute it was, oh God, Rick Fox was on the plane, which would have been absolutely horrible as well. But what we later found out was that his oldest baby girl, Gianna, was, that's what I keep thinking about is, I mean, Kobe was young, you know, definitely untimely, but 13, I can't unwind myself out from around Gianna also being on the helicopter. So in addition to Kobe losing his life in the crash and Gianna losing her life in the crash, there were seven other people who we lost as well. And those seven other victims were baseball coach John Altobelli, his wife Carrie, and their daughter, who was also a basketball player named Alyssa, Sarah and Peyton Chester, who were mother and daughter, a Mamba Academy basketball coach, Christina Mauser, and the pilot, Ara Zobayan. So nine people total who perished in the crash. And just the whole world has really been kind of reeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't go nowhere without seeing Kobe's face or his jersey number or the Lakers.
Right, or the colors or, you know, and
yeah,
I think in the midst of this tragedy, the other tragedy is that the NBA just refuses to suspend the fucking season. It's like, yeah. Look, say you all were to cancel the next, say, 10 games. Compared to what y'all pull in over the course of a year, you would not miss that money, okay? You wouldn't. You wouldn't. And honestly, it's really kind of fuck the money. I mean, you're talking about the mental health, the well-being of your labor force. And you can't even show them the decency or the respect of just acknowledging their humanity and what a tough time that all of them are having. You won't even give them the option. Yeah. You know, I personally say, okay, let's say you don't want to suspend the next 10 games. Give the players individually the option. You don't have to play. Do you want to play? Do you not want to play? Because some of those guys absolutely kind of take the attitude of, well, look, Kobe will want me to play. And if those guys want to play, let them. But for the gentlemen who don't, like Carmelo Anthony made the executive decision, and I love that. He made the executive decision to say, I'm not playing tonight. And I think this was last night. He's like, I'm good. I'm not playing tonight. Give them the option. And guess what? If enough of them say, no, I don't want to play, that means you cancel that game, period.
Right, is what it is,
Period. And you,
I mean, bereavement should be a thing.
Thank you. And you should allow people the space to do that. Now, some people, I'm guilty of this myself, but some people absolutely will throw themselves into their work after, you know, the loss of someone important to them. Some people, that's a thing. That's a cult. That's a common coping mechanism.
No,
but it should not be the mechanism because you don't respect your workforce. But we know, as people who work office jobs, that's the thing. Get to bring your ass back to work. Period. You had your little 3 days, 2 days, whatever. Now bring your ass back to work. And it's just, it's sad and it's disgraceful.
Yeah, it's really, really
it is. But because it's not surprising.
Yeah. It is not surprising in the least. That is the last thing it is.
At all.
And just my heart goes out to just Vanessa and her daughters and obviously the families of the other lives that were lost. I just could not imagine. Yeah. It's one thing obviously losing your spouse, but to lose your baby, to lose your child like that.
At the same time.
I can't even imagine that pain. Yeah, and then on top of it, lose them both at the same time. Man.
And to have a newborn. I believe there's a actual
baby. Yeah, yep.
That is way, that's way too much. That's.
She is still cleaning bottles at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yes. And got a whole child on her hip. Yeah, it's just extremely unfortunate. And
because that's the thing about when someone dies, anyone, is that you want the world to stop, but it doesn't.
Yep.
And so, so we had to, bid farewell to a basketball great and his baby girl and seven other people who had families who will miss them as well. So we just wanted to open the show by, acknowledging just the tragedy that we're all still trying to digest. And with that being said, we will go ahead and get into the show as we usually do with a first down.
Yeah, and this episode will be kind of different as far as the format goes. We still gonna be Shady and be us, but we will basically be doing first down for the entire episode. So obviously a lot has happened since last time we got on air. We have things to catch up on. The Super Bowl, that is the thing that's happening later today. If you're listening to this on February 2nd, it is not something that Indigo and I are really over the moon or interested to see. But it's a thing that's happening outside of the Super Bowl. We also got tons of other stuff that's happening. Netflix just dropped the Aaron Hernandez documentary, and that's been taking over the internet for a while. I actually, Indigo and I were talking about this not too long ago. About 2 years ago, I believe Oxygen put out an Aaron Hernandez docuseries or documentary. And I watched that, and Indigo rode with me through my whole reaction of watching that, because it was, back then, it was even crazy. And so to hear that Netflix now has one, and it's a four-part series, like, I just need to know what does Netflix find out, you know, 2 years later that wasn't covered in Oxygen. So I have not seen the Netflix one. Indigo has. I have seen the Oxygen one. Indigo has not yet. So, but we're going to compare notes and get back to you on that. It's a lot to digest. Yes, it really is. I mean, it is such a, and you know, you and I talked about it. It's almost like a Greek tragedy. It's just so, there's so many points in it. Like, it is just, it's a roller coaster ride.
And even with all that, we still don't know why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We, like, it's the whole thing of correlation does not equal causation, right? So we can make all these connections, of course, but there's no clear-cut reason for why he committed these murders.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's some wild shit.
Yeah, I mean, because he had, it's a very severe, we now know he had very severe CTE, and but obviously we know that alone is not just the only factor. I mean, he has had backgrounds of, you know, hanging around with the types of wrong people when he grew up. You know, he had a rough childhood, so it is just a lot to unpack, like I said. But great stuff. If you haven't seen it, definitely do yourself a favor. It really does kind of give you a view of this man from, like, all different angles. Shows the good, the bad, the ugly. Sorry, I just thought about a Kanye West song. The good, the bad, the... Sorry. it's a throwback back when he was messing with Common. Anyways, it's like, we go on tangents. But, yeah. So, great, great documentary. Highly suggest it. And, yeah, man, just if you are on, whatever, no matter which side of the argument you are on, as far as Aaron Hernandez goes, you know, as a killer, just still watch it. It's still...
Yeah.
When you have all the information, you may not have a change of heart. You may... But you it does at least kind of give you all the information you need to kind of make an executive opinion about how you feel about it.
Yeah. And what's always funny to me when documentaries come out is that almost immediately you get people saying, okay, but this was a lie and this was a lie and that wasn't exactly true, and that same thing has happened with this documentary as well. Like, for example, the high school quarterback that, you know, supposedly had, you know, kind of an off and on relationship with Aaron for a few years, 7th grade to 11th grade, I think they said. They went back and researched it, and it was like, he was not the quarterback. He was like the tight end or something. And it's like, oh my God, y'all, can we please?
Right.
Can we just read the words that are there? Okay.
That's it. There's a script. The teleprompter's right there.
We don't have to make things up. Like, it just...
Yeah.
A mess. But I found it to be a riveting watch. I watched it a few times and it's still with me. It's still something I'm turning over in my head.
Yep. Same.
Yeah. It's haunting, I believe is the word. So yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it, actually.
Yeah.
Speaking of tragedies and unfortunate, as far as offensive players goes, Antonio Brown.
Oh, man.
This is a mess. Quick recap. You'll recall that Antonio Brown was signed with the Raiders last season. It's been a while since we reported on this. So I'm not even entirely sure what happened with the whole Raiders thing. Do you recall?
It was just a string of, like, really bizarre behavior, and they decided more or less that he was not worth the trouble, and they let him go.
Right, exactly. I then mean, he it, went.
Yeah, it culminated. I have. I'm sorry. I got to go back to this real quick. It culminated in him calling Mike Mayock a cracker, which I'm gonna always bring up. Sorry. She was, you know, AB is, you know, complete trash. We know at this point, but at that time, some of this other stuff did not come out, and that I'm sorry, but I wish more players would go off and call AGMs crackers. I just think, you know, I wish it was a trend, but it's not. But yes, it was essentially he's a headache. Let's just cut our losses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, I totally forgot. So even further than that, back when he was still with Pittsburgh, that became a whole situation.
Yes.
So that's really kind of where, like, the cookie started to crumble, so to speak.
Yes, for sure.
And then from being released with Pittsburgh, obviously, that's how he got picked up for Raiders. Then, like you said, the Raiders released him. And then later on, New England picked him up. And then, not so long after New England picked him up, then the allegations about sexual and personal misconduct came out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't too long before Pat said, "Deuces, you got to go, dude. We're not dealing with this. We've had our fear. We've had our Aaron Hernandez's." And so then we find out, was it last week?
I believe so.
There was a altercation at his house, possibly involving like a moving truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
The police were involved. Cops were called. Yeah, the cops were called. An arrest was made. He's now been released. Like, this has blown up to a level that I really could not have foreseen.
Oh, and in the midst of all of that, he went and tried out for the Saints. We'll get back to that in a minute.
Yeah, right, exactly. And now, even what Goodell came out saying that, you know, his number one priority for Antonio is his mental health, which is very interesting because we know how the league handles issues with mental health.
Which means they don't handle them.
Thank you. And he recently sat down with an ESPN journalist. Her name was Josina
Anderson.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have not watched the interview. It's about 34 minutes in length. Quick watch. But basically, he kind of goes on to respond to some of the things that has happened. Obviously, the sexual misconduct and those allegations he can't speak on because obviously they're currently in litigation about that. Excuse me. But he does go on to talk about Goodell and say that, you know, she asked him, you know, does he feel like Goodell, you know, means what he says about his mental health being a number one priority? And he's like, you know, we'll see.
That's a talking point, and we all know that. Like, let's not pretend like Roger Goodell give a damn about anybody but Roger Goodell. Like, can we please not? Like,
right.
You doing damage control at this point. Let me at least act like I give a damn about this nigga. Like, come on. Who believes Roger Goodell actually cares? Seriously. Who believes that?
No one. But it's just like, my thing is, he can't even think about playing. He got all these charges up against him. I mean, sexual misconduct. Mm-hmm. Then you're talking about one count of burglary with battery, one count of burglary with an unoccupied conveyance, and one count of criminal mischief less than $1,000 in connection with the attack on the moving truck driver. It's like, dog, you got a whole scroll, a Rolodex.
Get your personal life squared away before you even think about trying to get another job, honestly.
Exactly. And one question I thought, because I read an article about the interview. I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess she asked him about CTE and if he thinks that something, I'm paraphrasing so horribly right now, but just if he thinks that it's something that's possibly going on with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "Of course. Of course not. I feel fine. I feel great. You know, I'm." And it's like, to me, I'm like, the question was kind of poor anyways, because we know with CTE, it's not something that you can detect right away. Like, those symptoms take a while to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to pinpoint whether or not, and to what degree, you know, he has CTE. I mean, he's obviously a football player. He has really bad hits. One in particular we like to bring up all the time, because we fucking hate Vontaze Burfict for that shit, because that's we know that's what Burfict's known for.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty hits. So it is. He got a long road ahead of him. And I was quite shocked at the fact that he even dared try to trial for the Saints.
Well, which he came back and was like, it's all a sham. And it's just like, you know, but the fact that
it was all a sham.
But the fact that teams are still vying for him from a talent standpoint. Let me go back real quick. Someone says to you,
mm-hmm.
do you think CTE is a factor? And you say, no, I feel fine. But you don't, it's a little jarring to me that you don't think your behavior is, you get what I'm saying? You're just going by what you physically feel like, and you may feel perfectly fine. You may not be having headaches. You may not have tinnitus, which is that ringing in the ears. You know what I mean? You may not be having double vision. You may feel physically fine. I don't doubt that. But the fact that you don't think your behavior is not completely bizarre and not
here's
alone.
The quote. Sorry, here's so yeah. So when asking about CTE, he said, "Nah." End quote. If I had CTE, I wouldn't be able to have this beautiful gym. I wouldn't be able to be creative. I wouldn't be able to communicate. He didn't hit me that hard talking about Vontaze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got up when I walked up the field. We won the game. I was all right. You play the game long enough, everyone get hit hard. End quote.
Well, okay, Antonio. All right. But the fact is, your situation has only gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
You've only gotten worse. And the fact that you are not even aware of that, to me, is very telling. Because behavior, you have to factor in behavior as Do you think CTE is a factor, not just, you know, a string of physical symptoms? It's just wild to me, because even that clip I saw like last week or so, him leaving the courthouse, he comes out of the courthouse and like does a lap, and it's like, what are you?
Yeah, that was really bizarre.
What are you? So you have not gotten any better, from what we can tell. You don't appear to be seeking counsel from anyone. Whether that be a mental health professional or someone you trust who really can kind of, because that's been a part of this narrative as well. Who's around Antonio Brown that's trying to reel him in? Now, I would I will say this. There are times when you can be the well-meaning person around the destructive person, and you are trying to do the work of keeping that person level, and that shit is just not working. Ultimately, people are gonna make whatever choices they make, despite whatever your well-meaning
is. A grown man,
exactly. And so, but it from out here, it do look like there's just nobody even trying to do that.
Yeah, at all.
It looked like from here that you
who on damage control prayer. Oh,
right. So. But I mean, I
this tea light candle is on damage control.
Like, bruh, you're continuing to spiral.
Yeah.
You're continuing to spiral.
Quickly.
Yes. Like, you damn near looking like your own version of some Aaron Hernandez. Like, how's this going to end? I think that's where most of us are at this point. How does this movie end?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because it could... It can go so many ways. And
yes, it can.
I hope it goes. I just hope he gets his shit together so that way he can change this narrative into something better.
Well, I mean, I'm basically kind of like, once the the rape and the, like the sexual assault allegation, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I was done already. Because I'm like, you out here doing all this nonsense, and you really not trying to do better.
Oh, yeah.
But that, I was like, oh, yeah. You, uh-uh. Nope. And then, I don't know if you heard about this, but, like, I saw this today where he came out to my, I owe the whole NFL an apology. Really?
Yeah, he said, I think I could have done things better. He said he called himself a cancer. Not the sign, but, you know.
Which he is, coincidentally.
Yeah.
How about that?
Mm.
But that's the thing. You're saying all of this stuff, but what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What you going to do?
There was one thing, other thing in this, from this interview that I also wanted to touch on really quick about the sexual allegation, because even though he said he can't really talk on it,
mm-hmm.
What he did say, aside from that, is he believes he's been targeted by the women who have accused him of wrongdoing. The quote is, I feel like I never really got in a conflict with no woman. I just feel like I'm a target, so anybody can come against me and say anything. I have face, can come against me and say anything that I have to face. There's no support, there's no egos, there's no rules in it. Anyone can come after me for anything, no proof or whatever. He said, she's saying. And so here's what kind of really creeped me the fuck out. Because the quote also goes on to say, the media will run with it, so even if I'm not guilty, I already guilty because they already wrote it and put it out on TV and put that in people's minds. So for me to sit here and hear those allegations of me is just unfair to me every time. But to go back to the part where I paused that, because even if I'm not guilty, bruh. And you know what that kind of reminded me of? The fucking OJ interview.
What if I did it?
Yeah. I'm like, even if I'm not guilty, are you like, you just telling on yourself? You're like, bro, you gotta go ahead.
I think I get what he's trying to say there. I think he's, you know what I mean? Antonio's not the most clear communicator. He's
him like Des Bryant.
Ugh. Like, ew, you know, but even I get what he means. Like, he's trying to in the court of public opinion, it don't matter. It's perception. What he's trying to, yeah, because it's a little, you know, he's trying to talk about perception is what he's trying to talk about.
Right.
But the part of the problem here is you now have so much erratic, unpredictable behavior that we've seen that it's difficult for us not to assume guilt in this case. And I mean, you know how I feel about the whole thing. I'm never surprised when it's like, oh, you know, they probably did that shit. And go back to what did you just say he said? I feel like I've never had a conflict with a woman. Okay,
yeah.
So that means you and those women have two different ideas of what conflict is. Most niggas think they have not had conflict with women. The nigga bagging groceries at Winn-Dixie will say the same thing. We went in no argument.
Nah.
Really?
Nah, shorty, I was just trying to get my point across. Right. You know what I'm saying?
So, that to me is probably the most telling thing. You and those women have a different idea, which means you probably have a different idea of what consent is as well.
Yep.
Because I'm gonna bring this up real quick. That's part of why Kobe Bryant's legacy is so complicated, right? Because of the rape allegations, and he, by his own admission, he had a different idea of what consent was than the victim.
Yep.
And that's a lot of men. That's a lot of men. A lot of men think things like consent and conflict are one thing, and women, we think of it as something completely different. You know what I mean? Disagreements, things like... So... He told... To me, that's... I'm not saying a confession, but I'm saying...
Yeah.
He don't even smell.
Right. Yeah, something in the butter don't smell good.
He don't even realize what he said.
Nope. Well, that's 99% of the time anyways.
It is.
But yeah.
It is. But that's just like when he left New England. And I think, what was that? Pats fans were like sending death threats to the damn victim. And he, and Antonio Brown is like, oh, well, you know, that means it's working, or whatever stupid ass nonsense he said, that he basically kind of told him himself. You see what I'm saying? Like, bro, do you even realize what you just said? You legit are co-signing.
Right. That's heavy. Yeah. I know. Mm. Well, we're gonna give you some time to calm down a little bit. We're gonna take a real quick break.
Mm-hmm. It ain't gonna work, but thank you.
And we'll be right back, y'all. Mm-hmm.
Oh. We are.
Did you have any more you want to touch on for Antonio?
I did not.
Yeah, me neither. Just one more troubled wide receiver. Well, I wouldn't say troubled, but he's been in the headlines a lot lately for just the most randomness of things. Odell, old Dirty Beckham Jr.
Old Dirty Beckham.
So, Odell's done quite a few things in the past couple of weeks. He, as we know, LSU has won the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that Odell is an alum. And so he was there handing out wads of cash to players.
Mm-hmm. To college players.
College players.
Mm.
Which apparently is a violation of NCAA rules, because of course, how dare you give college players, college athletes money? Mm-hmm. How dare you? You know that stands against everything they know to be good and true in the world. So
mm-hmm. Let them work at Pizza Hut for the summer. What? Why would you do that?
So that's just the tip of the iceberg there, ladies and gentlemen. So Odell eventually makes his way into the locker room. Turned up with all the players in the back. It's chaotic. There's dudes jumping around and hype and barking and yelling. Huh. And there's also a police officer back there. And if you have not seen the video, I highly suggest you watch it, because I played it on a solid loop for at least a good 10 and a half minutes, because that was hilarious. Because OBJ's reaction to the police officer turning around, priceless. That needs to be a GIF.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to make it a GIF. I'll post it somewhere. So Odell slaps this white police officer on his ass. The officer abruptly turns around to see who had the audacity to lay hands on his flappity flat flapjacks. So he turns around, sees it as Odell, and this is right towards the end of the video. We're about to cut off, so we don't really know what happens after this. Well, we do. We know that they tried to file a complaint against him. Well, not a complaint, charges, excuse me, against him.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know the rest of the reaction is what I was trying to say. And, oh my gosh, I wish I could have been there to see it. But anyways, so he turns around, which he does this weird-ass face. But it does not look remorseful at all. Like, hey, you know where you at.
I said what I said.
Right. It is, man, y'all gotta see the video. But it was just so bizarre. It's so just weird for him to just, because if you see the video, he cocks back. Like, you can, like, if you watch it, He brings his arm back, ladies and gentlemen. He is trying to get a nice, solid, slick backhand, okay? He's Serena Williams of the situation, all right?
Oh, my God.
Did you see him right in the go?
I guess I didn't see what I thought I saw.
Because... Yeah, you didn't see again, because he cocked back, man.
Oh my God!
That was premeditated, little motherfucker.
But see that. Oh, okay, so damn it, Odell. So for me, it's two things. Might be more than two, but two that I can think of right offhand. Sure. First of all, should Odell have kept him his hands to himself? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You had no business smacking a police officer on the ass. Number two, the police officer reacted like the sniveling little bitch that a lot of police officers are. I'm going to press charges. When you know full well that, was it unwanted contact? Yes. Yes, fine. But for you to completely overreact, I'm going to press charges. Are you serious? So you're not going to take the whole situation into account. It was a celebration. You know Odell obviously did not mean no harm. Mm-hmm. He did not mean no ill intent. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. should he have done that? No. But you know damn well he was not trying to attack you. Come on now. It was not assault in the sense that we know it to be. If we're talking about a loose definition of someone made contact with you that you didn't ask for, okay, whatever the fuck ever. But you know that's not what he was trying to do. So it was just a cowardly ass, silly mm-hmm. ass move on the part of the police officer. You know what I mean? But I find it interesting that I'm sure on some level, Odell had to have thought his privilege as an athlete was going to protect him or make him exempt. You know what I mean?
Possibly, like, but my whole issue with it is, had it been that damn their quarterback, what's the dude's name?
Burrow.
Mm-hmm. Below some, yeah, elbow. Had it been him that had...
Come on.
Pat, the police officer, this would never been in the headline.
No, it would not. And see,
we would have never known it happened.
Not at all. But see, that's the thing. I think about this. Is the average black person slapping police officers on the ass in any context? No. So I feel like Odell probably thought, well, you know, it's all in good fun. And plus, you know, I don't think he was actively thinking about, I'm a high profile athlete, something. I don't think he was, I don't think that was at the top of his mind, but I think that played into it. No, obviously not. But I think that's a factor for why he felt like, I'm not the average. Because ain't no black people.
I ain't the average nigga around here.
Right. The average black person is trying to minimize any sort of interaction or contact with police. You know what I mean? Oh, so I don't think it's a coincidence that Odell felt like he could do that shit and get away with it. I think first and foremost, he was thinking about the moment. We're just having fun. It's just all the fun.
Yeah,
of course, that's what he's thinking. But in a sense that I don't think he thought about, he probably did, mm-hmm. You know, my privilege as an athlete will protect me. And guess what? That cop didn't give a fuck because you still a nigga. You still a nigga. Your nigga hand came in contact with my flat, pasty ass, so you got to go down. That cop didn't give a goddamn. And that's just a perfect example of your money and your privilege, whatever privilege you have as a black, for class privilege, rather. It's not going to protect mm-hmm. you. It's not going to protect you at all. It's just such a perfect example. Maybe from here on out, Odell will be a little bit more careful, but it's just one more example of that kind of like reckless behavior that people tend to get on him about. You know what I mean? But we know Odell didn't mean no harm. I think that cop knew that too. He just was trying to prove a point.
He did know
I got to make an example out of you. Just silly. But next time, Odell, really, keep your hands to yourself, man. I don't give a fuck who it is. Just don't even take the chance. Just don't take the chance. But yeah, it was some silly shit. But I want to see... Uh-oh, you all right over there?
Yeah.
What is that?
The story of OJ.
Oh, Lord.
The instrumental.
Oh my god.
No.
Oh my god. No, I just wasn't expecting it. Wasn't expecting the interlude. Hopefully we don't get sued, y'all.
No.
It was less than what? 30 seconds, so maybe we'll be all right.
I'm trying to be quick with the buzz.
It was less than 30 seconds.
Push the button.
But I'm interested to see how this plays out with the players that he gave money to. That's a more pressing concern for me. because have potentially, possibly, kind of messed up some careers here. Like, I don't know, but I don't think the NCAA cares that it was all in good fun. Again, they don't care. They just want to flex their power. Yeah. It just.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, they don't care at all.
So.
Yeah, because people were trying to figure out if the money was real.
Oh wow!
And they confirmed, and Elbow, he confirmed that the money was real.
Wow. Well, so there's that.
My thing is, why would he be walking around handing out fake gas?
Right, Monopoly money, which they, which because it's NCAA players, they also cannot accept.
Right.
They can't even
fucking Chipotle coupons.
Okay,
and shit.
They can't even take Chuck E. Cheese tokens. Just silly shit. So to me, that'll be because we know the officer. That shit is done. He dropped the charges and shit. But the next thing will be the aftermath for the players that Odell gave this money to. So yeah. We know Joe Burrow gonna be out. Did was he one of the people that Odell gave money to?
I believe so.
Okay, see, he's gonna be all right. White quarterback, he'll be fine.
Do you hear me? Do you feel me?
So, you know.
Yeah. What else going on? I can't remember if we talked about Kyle Long.
We did not. No, we didn't because he had not done that. I don't think.
Yeah, so Kyle Long, longtime player for the Bears, Hall of Famer, Howie Long's son.
Brother of Chris.
Of Chris Long. he's retired. He's had multiple injuries, mm-hmm. especially as of recent. And I honestly think this was a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it always sucks to see, like, you know, one of the good players is not only good, but also fun. You know, it sucks to see them leave the game, but, you know, it's still a business. And ultimately, their health is what matters. And that's really all that matters to me, really. So I'm glad he bowed out gracefully, you know, with as much of his health as he could keep intact. Also retired recently is Luke Kuechly.
Oh
man.
Oh.
I was kind of blindsided by that one. I didn't know it was going to happen. I could not have predicted that.
So you know what I've been saying for the past two or three seasons.
Yeah.
You know, that like Luke was on my list of people that I'm like, I wish he would just not.
Yeah.
I really wish he would just kind of go on to the house. Like for me, just please, just go have a seat. And so.
You know, curl up with a good book, pour you some Pinot Noir.
Watch some game film if that will make you feel better. Like, you know, but.
Get you some protein pancakes. Something. You know what I mean? Put on some ESPN 360. E60, you know, 30 for 30.
Go have a nap. Like, after that first really bad concussion, I was like, oh, no. Maybe he should just not. Then he had like two or three more that were just kind of like, ooh, okay, that's not good. So I'm just, and this is sad to say, but I'm always shocked when players decide to do what they need to do for themselves. Retirements themselves are not surprising. You got to retire at some point.
Right.
When they retire because I need to do this for me, like how Andrew Luck did it, right? That is what I tend to find shocking because we know what it is when you're an athlete, you know, and it's probably football players especially, it's that encouragement of play through the pain, you know, the team is bigger than you and all of that, all of that mess. And so when they decide to put themselves first and say, you know what, I would like to live well past my career. So I think the best thing for me to do is retire from this good job. And so I'm watching, you know, Luke's farewell address, so to speak. And I just,
Man, ooh, it's tough.
It was tough. Yeah. And he did not look right to me. Just something kind of behind the eyes. He just did not look like the Luke Kuechly I have come to really, really enjoy over these past few seasons. And he's only 28. So, you know, you and I have discussed, I have my own theories as to why, what's really going on behind his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say them on air, but but I'm glad he realized it, and I'm glad he's taking the proper steps. The Panthers feel like there's a spot for him on their coaching staff, which I would agree.
For sure.
Like, that was the thing about Luke. Like, we knew him to be a very physical player, but more than anything, he was known for being very cerebral, very smart.
Yep.
And so if he can still make use of that after retirement, then I'm absolutely here for that. And that might help with the transition, too, that he still gets to be.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? That he still gets to be around the game that he loves and contribute in a different way. And so,
yeah, especially on the team that he's playing for, you know,
like the only team. He didn't even really have time to go somewhere else. I would agree. And so I'm proud of him for taking that step. I feel like it was a little late, but he did it. So,
I mean, he got there eventually.
A little too eventually for my taste, but you know.
You know, I'm kind of curious because you know how players lose weight after they retire.
What after they retire?
Lose weight.
Oh yeah.
I'm curious to see what Luke looked like. I'm curious to see if he dropped some weight. Look, I'm with you. I hope he don't, because right now his face is very proportionate to his body. Because he got that big ass jawline, but he got that chin. That chin is a motherfucker. He got a strong chin.
Don't talk about it like that.
But what I'm saying is, if he loses some of his muscle mass or some of that width, you know what I mean?
He's gonna look a bobblehead.
I feel like it'll look disproportionate. You know?
I don't see why we have to get into all of that.
We don't. Also,
that is so rude. That is so rude that you would bring that up. But I will say this. I just one last thing on Luke. I hope he got to make it to the Hall of Fame one day. He got to.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, yeah, he don't have a Super Bowl ring and all of that, but Luke was really one of the best to do it. So give that man.
Oh yeah.
Give that man his flowers.
Oh, I don't doubt for a fact that he won't make it into the Hall of Fame.
But you're not gonna sit up here and call him
a
bobblehead.
Will he be a first ballot?
Ah!
No, he's not, because he's not that. He's not that. But that chin's strong. Another Panthers player that also has retired is Greg Olsen.
Yes. Wait, so he did retire? The last thing I heard was he was moving on from the Panthers, but I didn't hear him explicitly say he retired. So he is retiring.
That's what I saw on Instagram. I could be wrong. I might have to double check my facts, but that's what I saw on Instagram.
Well, damn.
If he has not, one other player that has retired, finally, officially, thank the Lord, is Eli Manning, who has not done anything since the last time he appeared in the Super Bowl. And, it's been a long time coming for him as well. To me, I felt like he overstayed the fuck out of his welcome in the NFL.
Stayed too long.
But, yeah, so
Carson
goodbye
Palmer.
And, you know, have fun and shit. And this player has not officially announced retirement. But I hope somebody, and by somebody I mean his doctors, go ahead and make that happen. And that is Jordan Reed.
Oh, God, please.
He has sustained, at least as far as we know on the books, 7 concussions. And I can't even imagine what that must feel like or be like. I have not heard anything, and one of the favorite things I enjoy about Jordan as far as him and his status as a, you know, his someone with fame or someone with notoriety is that he does keep a lot of his personal business to himself. Mm-hmm. So as far as I know, he has not done anything kind of out of the ordinary as far as like his behavior goes outside of playing with a fucking concussion. But as far as like his personal behavior and, you know, his interactions with people, that seems to be fine. It's just, is he healthy enough to play? I'm sure the answer is no.
No.
But, you know, the NFL is doing an investigation. They're looking, you know, they're going to see what his doctors say. He actually will be a free agent this year. But I honestly hope that either he does not get picked up at all and is forced to retire, or he, you know, the doctors, you know, make the call they need to make and, you know, get him the fuck out of it.
I don't believe that will happen. I do not believe that. I just feel like they're all in cahoots with the NFL. I really do.
Yeah.
And I believe a lot of coaches and, you know, say like the physical therapists, I really believe they kind of get together. And there are
get some backdoor handling. Yeah.
Well, I think they get together and be like, well, if you feel comfortable playing, I feel like a lot of that goes on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, no, you as the coach, the physical therapist, that team of folks, y'all have the power to bench this player, bench their asses. Seriously.
Please, like, it's bad. Like, you know it's bad when you have fans, like, Redskin fans are even concerned to the point where they've been writing letters.
Wow.
Like, please.
Wow.
Like, that's some deep ass shit. When you have fans
yes.
saying, we love you, we know exactly what you mean to this team, and, you know, you're great, but we fully acknowledge the fact that you as a person need to be, like...
Yeah. See, I didn't know it was all that. That's yeah. wild. Now, that is some wild shit.
Well, you know, the media doesn't really pick up a lot of stories like that, but there was something I had came across, you know, my preparing, you know, our research. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we do research if you are new to the show. Some of this shit is actually research. Could you believe it? Not us, me
either. Who knew?
Who knew?
Wow, that is... And Jordan's not even... Is he 30 yet?
Man, listen.
I feel like late 20s, yes, but not 30. Or maybe...
Yeah, he's 29.
Yeah, see, so like, he right there. He's yeah. right there. Yeah, he, Jordan Reed, definitely. And that's 7 concussions maybe in the past 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's the only injury I ever hear about him having.
Here, I mean, he's had other stuff, but yeah, that is definitely what he is known.
I have not heard nothing lately but concussion. I've not heard, oh, ankle or torn pec or... Mm-hmm. Every time I hear about Jordan Reed being injured, it's a concussion. And I'm like, yeah. I am terrified for him because
same.
How much more of that can he take?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would really like for him to.
I hope he don't find out.
Yeah, I know. Gee whiz. Mm.
So that wraps up our retirement roundup.
Mm-hmm. It sure do. It sure do.
What you got in the go?
So, as per usual, the first kind of hot topic news during the postseason tends to be the coaching carousel. I do believe what is it? The first Monday after the final game of the season, I believe they call it Black Monday. This is when you start hearing about the firings and, you know, and all of that, who's getting let go.
Oh, my gosh. And there's been so many.
Yeah. But just about 5 or so, I think, 5 vacancies ultimately are what came up. So the yep. Cowboys, the Giants, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the other two? Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And the Panthers. Were the 5 teams that ended up with vacancies in the league. And we do this dance every year of
yep.
are y'all going to hire a Black coach to fill some of these vacancies? And every year, it's the same thing. They overlook
yep.
Black talent and they go get these white men who they dub offensive genius. It's always that. He's an offensive genius. With the only exception I can think of in the past couple seasons probably is Vic Fangio, who came from the Bears. I think he was the Bears DC. And then he went, mm-hmm. he took the head coaching job in Denver. But usually it's offensive genius. So it's your Sean McVay. It's your Matt LaFleur. It's your, you know what I mean?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Right. It's offensive genius, but I did not have a winning record in college. You know, that kind of crazy mess. So 5 vacancies, and they were filled with 5 white men. When Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs OC, is sitting right over there. He's standing right there. And you all overlooked him. It's not like, you know, he's the OC for a team, because he's been their OC since 2018, I believe. And the Chiefs been winning since 2018. They've been doing pretty damn good since Patrick Mahomes got there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You're the OC behind Andy Reid, who is going to – he's Hall of Fame bound. Like, Andy Reid is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day because one of the greatest – you know what I mean? One of the greatest coaches to ever do it. So it ain't like Eric is coaching under a scrub. It ain't like he was Cleveland's OC, all right?
Right. Right.
It ain't like he was under Freddie Kitchens, okay? It ain't like he was under Marvin Lewis, all right? So, you know, he's the OC under like a bona fide established, okay? Baker Mayfield liked you, so you got the job. Okay, that's cute. All right. But, yeah, so 5 vacancies, all filled with white men once again. So not all white men. I'm sorry. Ron Rivera got the spot in Washington. Yeah. So 1 man of color, but the other 4 are white men. So the Cowboys head coaching spot ended up being Mike McCarthy, who used to be the head coach in Green Bay. The Carolina Panthers got some dude from Baylor, Matt Rhule, the Baylor head coach. They plucked a nigga out of college and gave him a job. And Eric Bieniemy is standing right there. The Giants ended up getting Jason Garrett because they decided to go ahead on. And they decided to go ahead and stop that charade in Dallas. you know, is Jason staying or what's going on with him? And they went on and fired him because they fired him. And I feel like they got Matt McCarthy like in the same... I'm sorry, Mike McCarthy, like about to close the business the same day they fired Garrett.
Yep, sure did. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was very quick.
It was in and out.
Yeah. So they already knew they wanted Mike McCarthy. But Jason Garrett landed on his feet in New York with the Giants. And then the Cleveland Browns got the Vikings offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski. So again, 4 white men, 1 man of color. And it's just, it has gotten to a point where they're now going to take a look at the Rooney Rule, which if you don't know what the Rooney Rule is, it basically says they have to interview so many minority, you know, I used air quotes there, minority coaches, you know, and it's like, well, that's all y'all are doing, interviewing them. And you're doing that begrudgingly, because if it wasn't for this rule, you wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
So the fact that you need a rule to take a look at people besides these white men, these offensive geniuses y'all love so damn much, it's just pathetic. Yep. So I have no hope whatsoever that they're going to make any substantial, intentional changes around their coaching practices. It's going to be the same mess again next year. All y'all going to do is take a look at it.
Over and over again.
You know what I mean? So, but they move, the way they move these goalposts, it's, we want you to be, we prefer you to be on the offensive side of the ball. And the thing that we're looking at is your quarterback tree. Like, what quarterback talent have you developed specifically? Like, when they say offensive genius, that's kind of the big thing underneath that umbrella is what quarterback talent have you
developed? I'm tired of it because y'all turn around in the same breath and be like, defense world championship. Okay, but that's not who you're hiring for. That's not what the job description says.
That's not it. And then,
like, come on, dog.
And then you have a talented black man on the defensive side of the ball, and you don't fucking hire him. So which is it? And you are so terrible. I'm just gonna say this real quick. You are awful for sending me these pictures of Aaron Donald, You really try. Okay, that's all right. I'm gonna get back to that later. But if that's the case, again, Eric Bieniemy has Patrick Mahomes, who he has been developing since 2018, and you all really so. This shifting goalpost thing of, well, offensive genius, quarterback talent, but just we didn't mean you though.
Yeah.
We didn't mean you. You know?
Just kidding. Mm.
Because Jason Garrett got a job off of coaching Dak Prescott.
Right.
So I'm like, so we'll see. Now it's a point of, let's see how long it takes for Eric Bieniemy to get a head coaching job. Because you know what I had said. I wanted him to have the fucking Texans head coaching job because I just knew they was going to fire Bill O'Brien after he handed the Chiefs that game. I just knew.
Turns out.
Not only.
He got a promo.
He got a promotion, which is the whitest shit ever. He failed up. That's the... That is peak mayonnaise delegation.
Ooh.
He failed up and is now the Texans GM, which I did not know. The Texans have been without a GM for a good while now. You know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't like they just fired their person and put Bill in.
Right.
It wasn't like that.
It's been vacant for a minute.
It's been vacant for a minute. And so according to what I read today, because, you know, again, research, yes, Bill O'Brien was behind because, you know, the Texans got some pretty good acquisitions this year. They got Kenny Stills. Mm-hmm. They got Laramie Tunsil. They got like a few really good pieces added to that team. And from what I understand, Bill O'Brien was kind of instrumental in getting those players. That's fabulous. That's wonderful.
How the fuck ever?
Great. But you still...
Come on.
You still don't deserve that head coaching job. You just...
Basura Barracuda.
Right. And I'm like, I guess I can't... Chip Kelly, for me, ruined what coach/GM looks like. Because I will never forget how he torched the Eagles.
Yeah. All of the lights in here, baby.
I mean, so I don't have a very high estimation of coaches who are also GMs because that's my blueprint.
Yeah.
But I'm like, y'all, the truth is y'all need to get Bill out of here. And poor Deshaun had to get up there and defend his sorry ass in that game. And that right after that game, I think Bill is the guy to get us where we need to be. And we get that. You can't get in the damn staff meeting shit about the ball.
Right.
We understand.
I fell for a man. I was like, I know that feeling.
Yeah. And I think DeAndre Hopkins did the same thing. Yeah, man, Bill is the guy. And look, I get it. They doing what they got to do. Yeah. I'm not mad at them for that.
Gotta get the check. To pay these bills.
Right. But you could also not say anything.
Right. Which is the option people often, way too often forget about. We are going to throw it to one more quick break, and then we'll pick it right back up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. We'll be right. This past January 30th was CTE Awareness Day. This day is for spreading awareness about how our brains are very fragile and require protection. CTE Awareness Day also recognizes the effects of the disease and increases education around lessening the risk by using proper protection.
CTE, or chronic traumatic encephalopathy, is a degenerative brain disease that's caused by repetitive head trauma. At first, it was an affliction that only boxers were thought to experience until it was discovered in American football players in 2002. So as with any illness, CTE has stages of progress, and because it's degenerative, it doesn't get better.
Symptoms may include behavioral problems. I can't even say that word. Behavioral problems, mood problems, and problems with thinking. Even scarier, the symptoms typically don't even begin until years after the initial injuries.
CTE often gets worse over time and can result in dementia. We mentioned this earlier, talking about Aaron Hernandez and how it was discovered after his death that he had one of the worst cases.
It's really, really bad. I mean, Aaron Hernandez's case, it's pretty well documented by now that it was the worst case that anyone has ever seen in someone his age, and he wasn't even 30 years old. So aside from donating money, it's essential that you make sure your loved ones are protected. Inquire about your baby's helmets at the Pop Warner football teams. Be smart when shopping for helmets for activities like cycling, skating, snowboarding, and so on. Good fit is vital because an ill-fitting helmet can actually compromise effectiveness in a crash.
So take your time, do the research, make sure that your helmet fits comfortably to your head. It's truly an investment. To learn more about CTE and to find resources, head on over to Concussion Legacy Foundation's website at concussionfoundation.org. You only get one brain, so be sure to protect it. And with that, let's get back to the show.
Hello.
All right, we were talking about coaches. I just kind of think it was funny that Jay Gruden ended up being the OC in
Jacksonville.
I was like, oh, my. How the mighty.
Was he mighty?
No.
Okay. I will say this. This is my last note on the coaching thing. The fact that the Cowboys, before they hired Mike McCarthy, they called Marvin Lewis.
What?
They called Marvin Lewis for an interview. And I'm like, so you telling... So y'all would rather circle back to a black coach who ultimately was kind of a lemon. But I just, okay. We can go on to the next headline. What did you have?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So, I have so many here. Just real quick, want to say that Troy Polamalu is finally a Hall of Fame finalist.
Hey.
So he will be getting into Canton. I think they have those ceremonies in August, which is like such perfect timing. I'm here for that. So yes, Troy Polamalu finally made it in. He made it in after Ed Reed, which is okay. That's fine. Whatever. But it's all good. So congratulations to Troy. It was kind of an inevitable thing that he was going to end up in Canton. So, So here we are. Did you want to talk a little bit about the Marshawn Lynch post game when Seattle got knocked out of the playoffs?
Well, Beast Mode is back, ladies and gentlemen, as we know. he came back to Seattle. He came back to his alma mater. and the move that definitely shocked me because I thought he was done. I thought he was done
this time. Did I. Yeah, so did I.
But yeah, so he's back again like he never left.
Yeah.
But yeah, so post-game presser, Beast Mode, obviously, Marshawn in very Marshawn fashion. He was asked about, I believe, the younger guys and, his advice to them. And you want to tell them what he said in the go?
Take care of your chicken.
And translation, for those of you who may not understand what that means.
Make sure your money is good when you leave the game. His whole thing was just make sure that you're secure. He was very openly giving, and in a very plain spoken way, giving advice to younger players that, you know, we don't, in my opinion, we don't see enough of. You know what I mean? He was very sincere about, hey, I've been on the other side. I've played and I've been in retirement, and I know what both sides look like. And I'm here to tell you it is important that you take care of your money. Take care of your money. In fact, he really kind of took control of the whole post game press. I'm not even certain he asked him about the younger players. I think he just started saying what the fuck he wanted to say.
You might be right. It's been a while since I've seen the clip, so you might be right.
Right, same. But I feel like they were asking him about the loss.
Yeah.
And he kind of touched on it, like, you know, it is what it is, and he went right into, but you know. This is what I got to say about this right here.
Right.
And he wrapped his comments up and he left. But that was like a big takeaway was, you know, make sure your money is straight when you leave here, because it will need to be. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. And again, we don't get enough direct messages like that to players. We get all the other shit, you know, sacrifice for the game. We get all of those messages. But it's kind of rare that we see what essentially amounts to, I guess, advocacy in a way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
It was just, you know, beast mode usually is kind of a breath of fresh air when it comes to just taking the shit outright. He just, he don't have time to be mincing words.
He's really undefeated with everybody. In that aspect.
So yeah, that was a nice little, nice little moment in the postseason that I hope those players were really, really listening to, because they need it.
Oh, for sure.
Because how many people are really kind of looking out for them? You know, they're in their early 20s with access to like everything and amounts of money that
they're busy looking out for everybody else or trying to.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was a good message. It was a good message.
What else we got on the docket?
Oh, okay. So, Richard Sherman, wait a minute, I gotta talk about this. So Richard Sherman, you know, he had a couple of little weeks where he popped off or whatever, because that's what Richard Sherman does. Whatever. We know how he roll. But on both occasions, it was a matter of his talent as a corner coming into question, right? Mm-hmm. There's this thing that haunts Richard Sherman that, you know, he's only good in zone coverage, and that his tendency is to line up on the left. So he doesn't travel with the best receiver on each team. So essentially 2 weeks in a row, he kind of got, I don't want to say called out, but I think people just kind of pointed it out, and it pissed him off. And one of the people that pointed it out was Darrell Revis, who is a legend at the cornerback position.
I mean, icon.
You know, and part of the reason he's a legend is because he was a man-to-man shutdown corner. Period. That is what it was. His nickname was Revis Island, for God's sake. Like, you don't get that name for nothing.
Nothing, right.
And Darrell Revis is pretty quiet. Like, he don't really say
too much. Yeah, he don't really pop up too much. Yeah.
He really don't. So for him to
he usually sit there and eat his rice.
He, you know what I'm saying? He sit there and eat his food, have his green tea, eat his cheese sandwich. Mind his damn business. But even Darrell Revis, he felt compelled to speak up. And he basically, one of the comments he made was, he kind of equates playing zone to a fear of playing man coverage, because you don't want to get beat. And Richard Sherman did not like that.
Of course not.
He did not like that. So one of the things he did in his response to Darrell Revis, which you can't respond to Darrell Revis, okay?
Like,
you can't even, you know, it's like it's like grown people are talking. You can go there. But it's Richard Sherman, so he responded. And so, you know, he got a little snide, you know, and he tried to, you know, correct Darrell Revis's it was just really, really snotty the way he did it. Because here's the thing about it. This is the way I interpret it. I have not ever heard anybody say that Richard Sherman is sorry. What I have heard people say is he's limited.
Yeah.
And look, if you are good in a particular kind of system or a particular kind of scheme, own that shit and be the very best in that system or in that goddamn scheme. If you a zone corner, fine. just make sure you are the best zone corner ever to do this shit. That's your concern. Okay? Because the teams are going to kind of use you in a way that's advantageous to the team. So if it's advantageous for them to use you as a zone corner, and that's where you start to develop your talent, it's fine. Nobody's saying you absolutely cannot play man. What we're saying is, can we see the tape?
Exactly.
That's my interpretation. It's more or less, okay, but at this point, you're just predictable. We know what Richard Sherman going to do. He's going to line up on the left, and he's not going to follow the best receiver. Because let me tell you who is not out here crying about their talent. It's Patrick Peterson.
Not at all.
Patrick Peterson don't have nobody coming for him talking about, hey, you know, these are his limitations. I don't hear Patrick Peterson in those conversations. It's a reason for that. My personal opinion is that man corner is just the purest way to play that position. And I feel like, to me, that's the way you establish yourself as a threat as a cornerback, is in man coverage. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not by any means saying zone doesn't have a place. Of course it does. And the way I understand it, a lot of teams use mixed coverages anyway. No defense is strictly doing man or strictly doing zone. It's usually some combination of both of those things. Yep. If you really feel like you that guy and you more of a man corner, I don't know how this works, but can you not maybe ask your defensive coordinator to put you in some different schemes to spotlight the different parts of your skill set?
But is it possible that you also ain't trying to do the work?
You know,
I don't feel like that's exactly what you just said. Like, how did he make that ask? I feel like that's not something that somebody would immediately shut down. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, yeah, let's run some, you know what I mean? Let's see what we can, let's develop a baseline and, you know, try to go from there.
Right. Yeah. Let's put some looks together for you. And it ain't that you have to run those schemes the whole game, but maybe just on a few plays that are like, come on, like, that's why I can't help but look at him. I'm talking about Richard Sherman. I just look at him a little side because I'm like, bruh, you. And at this point, I'm like, can you say you are the best zone corner in the league? Can you say that? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But I'm saying, like, if you at least have that under your belt, then say that. Okay, yeah, I play zone, but guess what? Because, look, Richard Sherman is still a threat. People still don't throw his way. I mean, quarterbacks still have respect for Richard Sherman. You still don't try Richard. You know what I'm saying? You're still not going to just try him because, he's just a zone corner. So there's still that respect there for what you do.
You know, for being a one-trick pony, and that's okay, because the one trick you're good at doing, you do it well.
Listen, because guess who else do better when they line up on the left? Nick Bosa. I read that earlier in the season. Line his ass up on the right, he ain't doing shit. It didn't stop him from getting Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Not at all.
Know what I mean? So, every player has a set of limitations. It's fine. It's not exclusive to just Richard Sherman, but it's just that I think his deficiencies are just kind of glaring partly because of who he is.
Yep.
But brother, as a pattern, we're not just saying this shit out of thin air. You do tend to line up on one side of the field.
And
you don't travel with the best receiver. You don't.
And we have tape to prove it.
So you'll be fine. That's all I got to say about Richard Sherman. But I guess we'll see. I'm sorry. I guess someone will see what he does tomorrow. Because it will not be my black ass. I just had somebody ask me earlier today, so who you got in the Super Bowl? I was like, no one. I do not care. No. I have a lifelong hatred of the 49ers. Lifelong. I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. Okay.
Solomon Thomas. This will be his first Super Bowl.
Yes, it will. And I love that for him. He deserves.
especially after considering, you know, death of his sister.
Yes.
So this would be something really good for him to bring to his family.
Absolutely.
Jimmy Garoppolo. This would be a nice giant FU to Belichick and the Patriots organization. Dr. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Canadian.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Also Frenchman. Be nice to see him get the trophy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Patrick Mahomes, you know, so it'd be good to see a black quarterback take home the big shiny medals. So we'll see. Like you said, us over here, we don't really have no stake in the game.
Mm-mm.
So we'll hear about it.
All we can do is hope they keep it interesting.
Yeah. I hope it's a good game because that's all I got now.
Yeah, I really don't have
nothing. One sentence.
Yeah, hopefully. Y'all, you kids have fun.
Right.
So let me see. I had really only one more thing I wanted to mention.
Who the hell?
And that was just to go back to talking about the Texans real quick. Will Fuller. Will Fuller is a burner. You know what I mean? When he a great deep threat for the Texans, takes some of that weight off of DeAndre Hopkins of being like the only productive receiver on that team, as does Kenny Stills. Technically, if everybody's healthy, they have probably the best three-headed monster in the league when it comes to a wide receiver core. I mean, honestly, when all them guys are clicking, like, it's ridiculous. But Will Fuller, since he's come into the league, has been injury-prone.
Yeah.
I feel like every other game I hear, Fuller is a game-time decision.
Yep.
And so it made me very happy to hear him say that he's going to spend his offseason trying to figure out why he can't stay healthy. And, you know, what he could do to continue to be, you know what I mean? And I'm glad to hear that because it a long time ago got to a point of concern for me. I'm like, God, every time I look up, there's something going on with Will Fuller. He's talented. He still has a couple of kinks he need to work out. Like, he still body catches, you know, that kind of thing. But he's talented. Like, it's undeniable. But he needs to stay healthy, and I'm glad he's going to figure out how he can make that happen. I don't know if this is a conditioning issue. I don't know if it's he's too small, so he's not doing. I really don't know what it is, but I hope he figures it out. So I was happy to hear that he's going to take a moment, take a step back,
and I hope figure he does out what's figure going it out.
On. Me too, because he deserves to have a really solid NFL season, and I just hate that injuries just get in the way of that, because I feel like if he can really get some momentum, he could threaten some dudes.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? He get his durability up and work on them fundamentals, and you know he might could come from Mike Thomas' neck, or you know he might.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? Yeah, he might could run up. So good for him for making that decision. And that was really all I had for my headlines.
Same here. We now know that the all or nothing will be the Eagles. I can hope for that is, you know, maybe a little bit of Lane Johnson. That's about it.
Oh, and real quick, shout out to the new MVP, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, for sure.
It's official, it's official. It's official.
It is, and I actually posted Instagram story that I saw from Bleacher Report. He was the last QB left in the green room at the 2018 NFL Draft. He is now in your 2019 and league MVP. So,
I know he won. I know he wanted that Super Bowl. I really wanted that for him. I would be watching the Super Bowl if the Ravens were playing.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my God. I might have a t-shirt. Don't do me.
So, I really, really wanted that one for Lamar. But MVP, it might be a half decent consolation prize, but I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next year and beyond. Actually, him and Deshaun Watson. So,
yeah, MVP, and I believe he also got the FedEx Air Player of the Year. He got a couple of trophies.
Because I know he got nominated in a few categories too. You know what I mean? Like yeah, but MVP was the only one that he took home. But that's the one that matters for that award show. So that was good. Yeah, Kyler got Offensive Rookie of the Year. Calais Campbell got the Walter Payton Man of the Year. What else? Yeah, Stephon Gilmore got Defensive Player of the Year, which is fine. Super. Whatever. Sure. I mean, you know,
things happened.
Yeah, sure.
Would you like to get into these good order bills?
Sure.
So where can you find us? Well,
so we're in a few places. We are on the Twitters. I always confuse this. It's Side Eye Report on Twitter. So at SideEyeReport. Mm-hmm. We are on the Instagram. Look at me, the Instagram. Sounding every bit of 53. Yeah. We own the picture show. At Side Eye Reporting.
Babies in the pictures.
Yeah, you can also check us out on our website at www.sideeyereporting.com. And you can hit us up through, if you want to kick it old school, you can hit us up through email as well. We are at, what is it? It's sereport@gmail.com, right? Because I know we have two. Yes, so that is where you can find us. Mostly Twitter, though.
Yeah. 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 I love it on the Twitter. Before we go, I just want to say today officially kicks off Black History Month. So,
yep.
Happy Black History Month. I'm always going to be salty at the fact that we got the 1 month of the year that don't have at least 30 days, but that's, you know, getting over there. And today is also a really special day for me because it's also the birth date of one of my literary idols,
yes.
Langston Hughes. He really is a huge inspiration to me. He is the reason why I fell in love with writing.
Mm.
And I'm hoping to be doing something great to honor him. So we might hopefully have more of that to share with you guys later.
Yes.
But just happy birthday, Langston. I forgot how old he would have been today. He would have been, Googling really quick. Oh, of course, my brother want to act up. He would have been 65 today.
Oh, gosh, still young.
Yeah. Which, to me, that's wild to think. He was 65 when he died. Oh my god, that's so young. I'm tripping. I'm sorry. Excuse me, guys. Y'all know I'm tripping.
I'm gonna say
I'm like, wait a minute. Jesus. Sorry, y'all. I'm a little Bentley. Bentley. We had to laugh at me like that.
Of course I did.
I know the bloopers is real, y'all. But happy birthday, Langston. He would have been 118 years old today.
So
more accurate. Yes, 65. He died when he was 65.
Okay.
Numbers. So, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll have more for you as, you know, we roll into the off season, especially with this these free agent frenzies about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to be chaotic.
It is.
But, you know, we live for that.
If I could say one more thing before we wrap up.
Yeah.
For those of us.
At them and the girl, get at them.
I just have to get this off my chest real quick. As for those of us who are celebrating the life of Kobe Bryant, let's just remember that there are some people who, and I'm specifically talking about rape victims, victims of sexual assault, who don't have the same warm and fuzzy feelings about this man's death. And it is important not to silence those people at this time. It is very important that we not police their reactions, that we not police their feelings, that we not silence them with it not being the right time. Because guess what? For someone like Kobe Bryant, it never was going to be the right time because he was Kobe Bryant. For a lot of people, it's never the right time when it's time to talk about unpleasant narratives around sexual assault. So let's make sure that we are making space for all of those reactions and that we don't just give credence to forgiveness narratives. You know, the people who speak up and say, I've healed and I've moved on. You know what I mean? Make space for everyone's reactions, for everyone's feelings, and don't silence people at this time just because it makes you uncomfortable or you don't like the timing, because again, never a good time to talk about these things, but they need to be talked about. And so we can do both. We can, for those of us who want to celebrate his life, you can do that. And right alongside that, we can acknowledge and validate the feelings of people who aren't having the same warm and fuzzy feelings. So that's my final message for this episode.
And with that, we are going to send y'all into the outro, and we'll catch y'all in the next episode.
Y'all take care.